name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Our gospel today is a parable about forgiveness and compassion and mercy and grace. If you remember when you were in school, you learned a word called hyperbole. And that was a word that described things that were exaggerated or very overstated. Now there's hyperbole in this particular parable. And it's important to understand the worth of the debts that were owed. Now, a talent was worth 15 years of wages. So 10,000 talents would be 15,000 years of labor. First of all, no servant would build up such a debt. And certainly no servant could pay such a debt. And yet, on the other hand, a denarius was worth one day's work. So the slave that owed 100 denarii could probably pay it in 3 or 4 months. And so we see that the king, showing mercy of the debt, the very large unpayable debt, forgave his debt. And the servant goes out and demands the other person to pay his debt, but he shows no mercy. And then we learn that the king calls the servant back and calls him a wicked slave and tells him that he should have shown mercy. And he puts him in jail and has him tortured until the debt could be paid. When I read this, the first thing I think about is another debt, another unpayable debt. We owe a debt to God the Father that we can't possibly repay. God gave us life. Our very existence is lifted up in thankfulness to God. You know, it's amazing when we think of all of creation, of which we are part of it, and how uniquely made we are. And so our very life is something that we can't repay to God. And another thing it's impossible to repay is our chance for repentance. You know, we learn in the Bible time and time again that we can go back to God and ask for forgiveness. And we're always granted if we truly believe it in our hearts. And also God gave us Jesus. And we know through Jesus' resurrection and his sacrifice on the cross that we are given eternal life. So we owe everything to God. And the big question is, how do we react to our fellow sinners? And the first thing that I think about is the Lord's Prayer, where it says, "Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." We are to go out and we are to forgive others. I'll tell you a story. When I was a little girl, I had a sister about the same age, and we lived in Rochester, New York. And in the city, houses are very, very close to each other. And also, the houses weren't far from the sidewalk. There might have been 3 or 4 feet. And my sister and I were probably 5 and 6 or 6 and 7 in that ballpark. We were pretty young. And anyway, there was a lady who was 3 houses down from ours. And her house had very long windows. And in the windows were these dolls. There were these beautiful dolls. I think they were made out of porcelain. So my sister and I, we walked up to the window. And we looked at those dolls. And we just thought they're the most beautiful thing. And then we walked home from wherever we were going and never thought anything of it. Well, later on that day, the woman who owned that house called my mother and yelled at my mother that she didn't want those little girls trespassing on her property. And so our mother told us that when we came back. And I thought, wow. You know, we go to church and we say the Lord's Prayer and we say that we are to forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So I thought, this is really an important thing in our life that we do not step on anybody's property because we say it in church to forgive our trespasses. Of course, That is what a trespass can mean, but it's not what we're talking about in the church. We're talking about an offense that someone else commits against us. And in the new prayer book, which isn't so new anymore, there is a different version of the Lord's Prayer that uses the word sin. And I guess I kind of like that word better because it seems very inclusive of anything that we might offend against God or other people. Forgiveness is an act of love. And forgiveness is given as a gift of love. And mercy and compassion are at the core of forgiveness. Mercy, as we know, is not getting the punishment we deserve. And thank God that we have a merciful God who doesn't judge us but has mercy upon us, because we wouldn't be judged very well, because as human as we are and the mistakes that we make in our lifetime. And mercy is compassionate treatment, being able to forgive and show kindness to others. Now, there are other places in Matthew that the word mercy is used. In chapter 5, it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." This idea involves both giving and receiving mercy, much like the Lord's Prayer, when it says to forgive as we are forgiven. In chapter 9, it says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." And we all know that we are sinners, and we all know that we can receive mercy. And then there's two other examples in chapter 15 and 17, which are very similar. There was this one about the Canaanite woman who yells to Jesus, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." And a father who comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic." And indeed, Jesus does show compassion and heals them. So this parable is just another way that Jesus is talking to the people about forgiveness and mercy and compassion. Perhaps he thought, if I tell a story, maybe they would get the point better. Forgiveness is hard. It's very hard, but we're called to do it. And we are to keep on forgiving time after time. And there is no time that we aren't called to forgive. And we're not supposed to keep track of it. You know, and the story said, "Can I forgive 7 times? And he said, "No, 77 times. And so there's really not a limit to it. We're not supposed to say, "Okay, I forgave once. Okay, I forgave twice." How many times to make little check marks? Absolutely not. We are always to forgive, and we are not to keep score. Now, forgiving doesn't mean that the feelings that we have are unreal. But not forgiving holds on to those feelings that can hurt us, and it can hurt us to our very core. And I think we've probably all been hurt, and we have these feelings inside, and we hold on to them. And then the person who hurt us, who may not even know they hurt us, goes on their merry way and acts as life is just normal. And so what it is holding us back. Now, forgiveness does not mean forgetting. And sometimes reconciliation is possible, but other times it is not. But we still have to forgive. Forgiving means leaving judgment up to God. Time and again in the Bible we hear that God is the one to judge, and we have to leave it up to Him. And forgiveness takes practice. It takes a lot of practice. And so how do we do it? How do we actually forgive someone? Well, first we have to realize that we are hurt and acknowledge our emotions. And that's usually the easy part, because we can tell how we feel inside. We can say to ourselves, "I'm hurt, and I just don't like the way that feels." The second thing we can do is to decide to forgive. Forgiveness is a decision. It's a choice. We can decide to forgive or not to forgive. And I think this is the hard part. And I think this is when we need to turn to God and pray to God to help with our forgiveness. Because it's not easy. Especially some things that seems too horrible to be able to ever forgive. So forgiveness is work. It's very hard work. And it takes time and it takes practice. Oftentimes we forgive someone and then later on something comes up. And those emotions come back. But we have to continue to work on forgiveness. And hopefully over time that we can say that we truly have forgiven another. And I think it helps us to think about how much God loves us and how God is always willing to forgive us. So if God can forgive us, certainly we can forgive others. As Christians, we are to forgive unconditionally, and we are to be grateful to a loving God, a God of mercy and compassion, who is always ready to forgive us. And if we do forgive, the benefits of forgiveness are amazing. First, we have less anxiety and stress. Usually we can sleep better, we can eat better, we feel better when we let that go. We have less hostility. We can release our anger and our resentment. And when we do that, it feels like a weight has been lifted off of our shoulders. Forgiveness can improve our mental health. We may be depressed, and it can ease that depression or lift that depression completely. And I think through the forgiveness, we can have healthier relationships. And hopefully we can have a healthy relationship with a person who hurt us. But that isn't always possible. But I think it helps us with relationships with other people because it makes us aware that as human beings, we are not perfect people. We're imperfect. And that people have to accept us and our imperfection, and we have to accept others and theirs. Now, Friday marked the 19th anniversary of 9/11. And I know none of us will ever forget that day. All of us can also tell what we were doing when we first heard about it. We saw hatred. And we saw evil. And we grieved that day, and we still grieve today. In grief, if it be something like 9/11 or grief in our lives, we can turn to God for understanding. But there are some things that we know. We know that people are taught to hate. That hate is taught more easily to children. And maybe some of you experience, maybe not hatred, but certainly prejudice. That you may have been brought up and taught to be prejudiced towards certain groups. But as you grew and you learned, you overcame those prejudices. Children may not even know who it is they are hating. They just know the names of those who are classified as the other. Each group names their own others, the ones to hate and fear. It can be religious groups. It can be Christians who hate certain groups. It can be Jews or Muslims. It doesn't make any difference. But they're taught to hate the other group. And maybe the others have to do with someone's skin. They could be black, biracial, or whatever. Or a different group that is have different other beliefs. And maybe the others are identified through their sexual orientation. And even now, it seems that the others are identified in their political parties, which is certainly distressing to all. We all know the names that are on someone's hate list. We all think, all the people in these groups think that they have the truth. Oftentimes I talk about the truth. There's truth with a small t and truth with a capital T. You know, you may be brought up in a certain part of the world and you're taught that a certain thing is true. Maybe it will be to hate Christians, as an example. And you think that that is the truth. But there can be all kinds of truths. You know, we may think of a certain truth, and someone in Asia has another truth. And we believe our truth, whatever it may be, and they believe their truth. But all those truths are with a capital T. All the truths are relative. But there is only one truth. The truth that starts with a capital T. And that truth is found in God. Every person, every single person on all the different lists is on one master list, God's list of his beloved children. We are all children of God. If only people understood that God is a God of love and not hate. That we are here to help each other, not to hate each other. That we can love each other and still love our differences. As Christians, we know that Jesus came to show love and to show us the love of God the Father. He gave us examples. He gave us examples of mercy and compassion and love and forgiveness. Jesus paid our debt of sin with his very blood and body. And as Christians, we are to show mercy as we have been given mercy. We are to show compassion as we have received compassion. We are to love as we are loved. We are to forgive as we have been forgiven. And we are to love God with all our being. Amen.